We're going to begin in James chapter 4. So turn there in your Bibles and we'll pray. We've had a lot of preliminary today, so I'm going to exercise great restraint in how I approach this five-paged sermon. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we glorify the name of Jesus in this house. You are lifted high, Lord. And under your banner, we sit today. We sit, Lord, with confidence and with humility, knowing that it's only because of you that we're here. We did not choose you, but you chose us. And we thank you for it, Jesus. We love you. Open our eyes now, Holy Spirit, as the great teacher, as the instructor. Equip us, arm us for every battle, that we may stand in the field victorious in Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost spoke last week, and I want to tell you something. Sometimes on a Sunday service, there's a moment in which the Holy Spirit reveals something to me I didn't plan to say. And last week, we had a moment like that. And I hope you'll take note, because last year, in March, the Holy Ghost did that again. 2 Corinthians 9:11, he said five words. You will be made rich. Amen. How many of you were made rich in 2020? Yeah. You saw the Lord come through.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you took that promise to heart. And he spoke that in the middle of a service. It's just like, it came out and it was like, whoa, I didn't plan to say that. But it's in the Word of God. But it was highlighted in the moment. Are you with me?
Yes.
And last week, in the moment of my preaching, the Lord highlighted an idea, and he said this, prepare for war. Prepare for war. Now, that's not to scare you. That's love. See, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Now, I don't mean geographical. I don't mean like World War III, like tanks and bombs and things. I mean, that could happen too. But that's not what I believe he was saying. I believe he's saying 2021 is not a time, it's just because it's January, we just got through the holidays, it's not a time to sit down and take a break. It's time to arm yourself for every battle, amen, and be prepared. Now, God used 2020 to prepare us. And there may be more challenges coming in this year. But he's good. He's not inciting fear. He's not inciting doom or dread. He's saying, you're my people. Be alert. Prepare for war. That was the word of the Lord last week. I hope you took it to heart, those of you that heard, because I didn't plan to say it. See, in the moment when we're here, Jesus is here. And the scripture says in the book of Psalms, in your light, we see light. So sometimes in his light, we see things that we didn't think we brought to the room till we got here. It was his light. James chapter 4. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And we may be on this topic a while till the Holy Spirit tells me to move on. I'm like Moses. When I see the cloud move, then we'll pick up the tent pegs and we'll put up the tents and we'll move too. Get the camels going. But for now, he's got us on spiritual warfare. James chapter 4, verse 7. That's 6, excuse me. But he gives us more grace. Wow, that's a great promise going into spiritual warfare. I'm going to preach a bit, so just bear with me. But I'm watching the time, don't you worry. He gives us more grace. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings your way today. The Bible calls it in Ephesians 6, the day of evil. And every day when you wake up, it's a great day in the Lord. But how many of you know we got an adversary in the world around us here?
Yes.
And from his vantage point, he's ready for war. He's ready for conflict. He's ready to crush us. But God says here in James 4, 6, know this, saints, know this, soldiers, before you even step onto the battlefield, he gives us more grace.
Amen.
Isn't that a good promise?
Yes. Yes.
I got hit with something late last night. It wasn't the coronavirus, praise the Lord, but I'm just saying I got hit with something, and it challenged my faith. And in that moment, I just bowed my head and I said, I'll take your grace. And he gave me more grace. Listen, when you're out of gas, when you feel like you got nothing more to give, you just bow your head in humility and say, you give me more grace.
Yes.
Because sometimes the battle demands more from us than what we feel like we have to give and what we actually do have to give, Dan. And we need to depend on his grace. So number one, going into war, what do we depend on?
Grace.
His grace. He gives us more
grace.
Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Wherefore, he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, let me just bring out a few points here, and then we're going to move on. I'm not going to stay too long on this. Because of what God gives, we're able to defeat the enemy. Amen? Because he gives us what?
Grace.
No. He gives us more grace. You see, the devil puts this in our path. He puts this in our way, and God gives us more. Don't leave out the word more. Because whatever Satan throws your way, God gives you
more
grace. Amen? It's an overcoming grace, no matter what comes your way. Hallelujah. It speaks of supply. God gives us supply. Now, verse 7 says submit. That word submit is interesting. I'm going to break it down for you in a moment. But let me say this about submission. Step number 2, going into spiritual warfare. The place of submission. You and I have a great, great part in this great spiritual war. Remember I said last week that this is not our war. We didn't start this thing. This was between Lucifer, a created angel, a worshiping angel, that many believe the highest angel in heaven, who fell through his pride, and God. He wanted to be like God. So this was his war. We got caught in the middle because we bear the image of God as mankind. Amen? But listen, we have a big part to play in this battle, and here's your part. Careful what you say yes to. Careful what you say no to. It's as simple as that. Your cooperation, your will, your decision. What you say yes to and what you say no to will determine your victory in the warfare. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's real simple. It doesn't get any more complicated. Jesus makes it easy enough for a 5-year-old to understand.
Yes.
Say yes to the right thing. Say no to the wrong thing.
Amen.
And you have the power. I said you have the power. We don't need to be afraid of our adversary. Yes, he is mighty in the spiritual, in the sense of a spiritual being. He was originally, don't never forget that even though he's fallen and he's stupid for challenging God, don't underestimate the power that belonged to Lucifer in the beginning. He was an immense, beautiful, the Bible says he was created in beauty. He was something to be in awe of in the spiritual sense. However, what is man that you're mindful of him? You made him a little lower than, not the angels, the actual Hebrew wording there is a little lower than Elohim.
Yes.
We're right in the middle.
Yes.
You and I have the power to say yes to God. That's what this word submit to God means. Saying yes to God and saying no to the devil. Yes. Now that word submit is very important for you to understand in a clear way. Sub meaning
lower.
Under, like a submarine, it's under the water. Sub, the prefix S-U-B means under. Okay, submit is not stepping under God's foot.
No.
It's not a place of humiliation. It's stepping under God's full bodily protection. Picture God leaning over you. When you submit, when you come under God and you say yes to God and you cooperate with God and His truth and His word, you are come under His full, I was going to use the word umbrella, but that's an inanimate object. It's not an inanimate object. It's a picture of a loving father who would give his life for his child. Are you with me? He's leaning over you like a mother would. Mothers are real quick at this, but God's pure. He has male and female in a sense in his heart, okay? So he's a giving mother too, because mothers are often a little quicker to die for the cubs than the men are. Men are over there eating honey, right, in the cave. But God says, if you'll submit, I'm going to protect you. It's full protection.
Amen.
It's not a place of humiliation. It's a place of full protection. Folks, there's real protection when we say yes to the right thing. Now, let me just throw out this practical example, because so much of our life centers around the television, and cable TV, movies. In an instant, that thing can indoctrinate you and I without our expectation. Without our voluntary thinking process. We're just sitting there. Maybe we're sitting watching a good, clean family show, and all of a sudden a commercial comes on. And it's not so good and clean. In that moment, the world seeks, and the devil seeks to indoctrinate you and I. Careful what you say yes to in your heart. Every time you say yes to evil, even a little bit of compromise, you are giving way to the devil. You're moving closer and closer to his camp. And you're moving out from under that place of submission to God. Protection from God. Saints, we give no place to the devil.
Amen.
This is a very important part of spiritual warfare. Hey, if you're letting in the devil in the back door, don't be crying out to God out the front door, save me, save me. And you've got the back patio door wide open. Now, here in Texas, we don't leave our doors open too much. Even when the weather's nice, you'll notice that what happens when you do? Flies. Hornets. Bees. They all come in. Hey, don't leave your back door open. I want to keep coming back to step one. This is not step one. We're about number three or four down the list. But an important point about spiritual warfare is don't you submit to the devil. Don't you give way to the devil. Yeah. Don't you say yes to him in your heart in any arena. That's why the scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
Careful what you say yes to. And I don't mean from your physical mouth. I mean your heart mouth. Are you with me? Big chocolate pie commercial comes on and you go inside. Here you go. Yes. There goes your diet. Because you said yes in here. Careful what you say yes to. And I'm serious. I use that jokingly, but seriously. Because the TV throws so much at us. Images. Ideas. Pride. All these things. Careful what you say yes to. He says here, resist. We broke it down last week. We said re, the prefix re means what?
Again.
Thank you. Re means again. What does that speak of? Satan is going to come not one time, not two times. How many times did he come to Jesus?
Three times.
He came three times to the Son of God. Talk about audacity. Hey, he knew who Jesus was. That's gutsy. He didn't know whether Jesus could go and turn him to a pile of smoking ashes in that instant. That's gutsy. That's how gutsy he is. Saints, that's how determined he is to destroy you and I. Because we bear not only the image of our Creator, but our Redeemer. We bear Jesus, amen, in the earth. He hates us double. Are you with me? I threw some of you there. I'm saying there's creation and there's redemption. A lost man walking around, a non-born again man, still bears the image of God. He's got hands, he's got, you know what I'm saying, he's got brains. Even our physical being, even if we're not born again, bears the image of God. Are you with me?
Right.
And once you get born again, you double bear it.
Yes.
Creation and redemption, all in one. And Satan hates it. So he says, resist. The word cyst, in that word resist, re means again. Cyst, I-S-S-I-S-T, means to stand. Mm-hmm. Think of the word persist. P-E-R, that prefix, I know this sounds like English class, but I'm trying to break this down so it has meaning to you. P-E-R means thoroughly or thorough to the end. So when you say, boy, they're persistent, it means they stand to the end. So he says here, resist the devil, re-meaning again and again and again, stand. Stand again. You mean I got to stand again? Yes, you got to stand again. You never let your guard down. You never say yes to him when he's pounding you over and over with temptation. Hey, this is real practical. Listen to me. He comes again and again and again and again.
Yes.
He'll try to provoke you to hatred. He'll try to provoke you to evil desires, whatever it is. He comes again and again. He's got nothing else to do till God sends him to the lake of fire. He's got nothing else to do. We are his hobby, I'm sorry to say. But we're caught in the middle. But we stand, amen? We resist. And what is the promise? He will flee. Hey, that's a promise. It's just as much a promise as given, it shall be given. It's a promise. He will flee. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. Let's look at when that happened in Jesus' life. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4. Saints, never tire of putting your eyes on the scriptures. I used to get irritated. Sometimes I'd be reading a magazine article and a writer would quote a scripture and they'd have the whole scripture typed out there. And I'd say, I know that verse. I'm going to read it again. Read it again. There's a reason why it is written.
Yes.
You remember when John went to heaven in the book of Revelation and the angel was showing him all the stuff? And at some point in Revelation, I meant to look up the passage. Maybe someone can help me with that later. But the angel said, write this. Why did God always, why is it important, this it is written thing, this written thing? Because that which is true should be written for all of time.
Amen.
Truth stands to be read again and again and again. Never tire of putting your eyes on truth. Look at Luke 4. Verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was what? He was hungry. And now the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you their authority and splendor. For it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Notice the devil started quoting scriptures now. He was following Jesus' lead. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Last week we shared with you what I believe to be the opportune time was when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, yeah, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die at the hands of men. And Peter said, no, Lord, never, never, never. And at that moment, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. I believe that was the opportune time because Jesus was tempted in that moment with the idea of human sparing of his life, not to go to the cross, to make the kingdom come. Okay, that just a little aside there. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Now, let's look at a few points here. I want to bring it out. I already said this about it is written. How did Jesus defeat Satan? By the word. Jesus in his humanity was in his weakest state. 40 days of fasting. And the first temptation out of the gate is food. How many of you know when you go to fasting, when you determine I'm going to fast for a meal or a day or a half a day, the first thought in your brain is usually food. And Satan comes and says, how about some bread? Hot bread with butter. And Jesus says, no. Satan appealed to this. This is what he targeted in Jesus. I want you to catch this word here. If you're taking notes, it's real simple notes today. Senses. Senses. Satan targeted Jesus's senses. Number one, hunger. Number two, his eyes. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the splendor thereof, the scripture says, right? He showed him not just, you know, Turkey and China and Europe and Scotland and Texas, but he showed him the splendor of Texas, which is Bucky's. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just testing to see if you're awake there. The splendor of all these kingdoms. And that was the lust of the eyes he was tempting him with, right? Our eyes are attracted to pretty things, glittery things. Those are the things and things to be desired. He attacked Jesus in his senses. Thirdly, he attacked his sense of pride. He said, throw yourself off the temple and it'll look like, look what I can do. What is that? It's a sense of pride. Look at me. Looky, looky. I just fell off the temple. And if you look at how high the temple is, in that day, and you'll get to see this when you go to Israel with us. How many of you want to go to Israel with us? Yeah. Woo-hoo! We're going to go someday. Once this virus stuff is all behind us, I thought it would be this year, but no, not to be. But when you go there and you see how high the temple mound is, I mean, it's way up there. And then he was on top of the roof of the temple. I mean, that was a big fall. I don't know, 60, 70 feet, whatever it is. It's high up there. It would have been an obvious God saved me from death kind of thing where he could have said, I'm the Messiah. God saved me from death. Look who I am. That's pride. Satan appealed to his sense of pride. And that's the same thing he appeals to us in. Listen, let me take that word sense and break it down a little further. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. This is what the devil works through. The sense realm is the realm he can defeat us every time. The realm where we win is the word of God. Amen. When we declare with our mouth, like Jesus did, it is written. You may not feel strong. Last week I shared a funny testimony out of John Osteen's book. Remember the story of the hitchhiker?
Yeah.
Standing out in the desert in his underwear. And he's yelling at the guy as the guy was about to drive off with his car. You can't do this to me in Jesus' name. I bind you. Greater is he that is in me. You cannot do me. You must come back with my clothes. What was he doing? He was standing and declaring, it is written. Saints, you may not feel strong in the moment of temptation. You may not feel strong when the devil hits you between the eyes with whatever in your sense realm. But you declare boldly, it is written. And you'll defeat him every time. He may come back. It may not feel like a victory.
Why? Because he's come back. That's why the scripture says, resist. He comes again and again and again and again and again. So it feels like maybe we didn't win. You just hold your ground.
That's good.
You hold your ground and declare, it is written. Stick to the word, you'll win every time.
Go with your feelings. That's the devil's territory. He operates in the sense realm. He knows our weakness. Folks, he's been studying us for thousands of years. Right?
Right.
I mean, everybody has different desires, but it could be summed up probably in a category. You know, there's probably about 30 main desires of humanity that are bad that he can trip us up with. Right? You know what I'm saying? He's distilled. He's had plenty of time to distill what's the highlights. What's the, you know, I mean, yours might be a little different than mine as far as where he would tempt me, but it's not that far off from, you know, the other millions of people he's been studying for all these years. You with me?
Yes.
So he knows how to get at us through the sense realm. But how many of you know we're believers, not feelers?
That's right. Amen.
It's a believer's fellowship, not feelers' fellowship. Now, sometimes you come in, you don't feel that great in church, and that's why we hover around you, we love on you, we encourage you, we speak the word to you. We be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, say, hey, so-and-so's having a bad day today. We understand that. Yeah. But it's time as soldiers in the army, you stand up. And when the Holy Ghost last week says to us all, prepare for war, we got to realize, hey, I got to get past feelings. Because at 5 in the morning when they call the trumpet, come on, out to the... what do they call that? The place where you do all the calisthenics in the army? Oh. Whatever. That place. By the flagpole. You don't feel like getting up at 5 in the morning when you're in the army and doing jumping jacks and push-ups and all those things. But we're believers. We're not feelers. Now listen, this is not a feel-good church. I just got to tell you. I got to warn you. God told me years ago when I started this church, he said, this is going to be unique work. And I believe we are unique work. I believe there's a lot of churches you could sit in today and you could feel a little better than what you're going to feel when I get done with this word. Not that I'm out to hurt you, but I'm just saying, sometimes the word of God is strong. It's strong drink. It's like your grandma's coffin syrup. You may not like taking it, but it's going to heal you, all right? So the word of God may be strong here, but it is the word of God, amen? And it is written. Now look at verse 14. I want to highlight this real quick, and then we're going to move on. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. What Spirit was that? The Holy Spirit. Some of your translations word that a little different. He returned in the spirit of holiness, some translations say. All different ways of wording that. But I want you to understand this idea. Jesus returned in power because Jesus walked in holiness. Walking in holiness is walking with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm not making this hard today. Just follow me. We said a while ago, you and I have the power of yes and no. We have the power of cooperation with the devil. When it comes to spiritual warfare, our cooperation in the battle is very important. Are we cooperating with God or are we cooperating with Satan? And Jesus did the right thing in the desert, in his weakest state. I don't know if you've ever fasted more than 2-3 days. It'll make you feel weak, physically. And he'd gone 40 days. But he submitted to God. He hung in there. He defeated the devil. And he returned in the power, the Bible says, of the Spirit. That walking in holiness is a place of safety, and it's a place of power. Sure. Hey, we never want to be a church that it says, like in the scripture, it says, a form of godliness, but no power.
No.
Oh, shut the doors. Let's go home, watch football or whatever. Listen, we don't want to be a church without power. But I'll tell you, the secret to power is walking in holiness.
Yeah.
Now, what is holiness? You say, what's holiness? Maybe you're not real clear on what holiness is. Let me explain it to you. Righteousness is a result of who you are. When you believed on Jesus Christ, you got born again, you became righteous. Say righteous.
Righteous.
I am righteous.
I am.
You are. Nothing you could do. You are righteous. But when it comes to holiness, it's who you are becoming. Becoming. So if you want to do a chart, put righteousness, holiness. Righteousness you are, holiness you are becoming. Are you with me?
Yes.
Holiness is something we're becoming as we grow in our faith in Jesus. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
In the case of righteousness, it's based on something that happened outside you and I. It happened where? At Calvary, yep. At the cross. God put our sins on Jesus and gave us his righteousness. And at that place, outside of us, outside of our efforts, we became righteous.
Yes.
OK, Okay, track with me.
In the everyday real world, as we would call it, the everyday Christian life, our day-by-day walking this thing out, we are becoming holy as that's something that's happening inside us.
So the cross was something that happened outside us. Righteousness happened outside us. If you're writing just singular words to remember this, righteousness is outside of us. Holiness is inside of us. And it happens inside you and I, not based on time. Oh, I've been saved 55 years. Yeah, but have you ever submitted to God? Have you ever said yes to the Holy Ghost? Have you been walking with Jesus or you've been walking your own way? See, it's not based on time. You and I become holy. Listen to this, saints. You become holy the more you obey.
Yes, amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
If you go 50 years and say no to God, you're not becoming holy. You're righteous. You'll go to heaven when you die. But you're the farthest thing from a holy saint. In fact, you're probably a person that's not real pleasant, and we don't want to be around you. How many of you know there's grumpy Christians? You ever met a grumpy Christian?
Yeah.
That's somebody that's not developed in their holiness. Hear me. Holiness is as we cooperate with God.
Yes.
It requires our cooperation. Say yes to God. You'll become holy. A yielded believer is a victorious believer. It's as simple as that. Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit because he yielded to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was given power. How could he have power over demons and devils? Because he said yes to the right spirit. Are you with me? This is real practical here. Say yes to the right spirit, you'll have power in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, to the heart of the message, and I won't be long with it. Watchman Nee very wisely pointed this out regarding spiritual victory. He said this, Jesus' warfare on our behalf was primarily offensive. Our warfare here on earth, in his place, in his stead, is primarily defensive. I'll say that again. Jesus' warfare for you was offensive. He went to hell and back, literally, and fought offensively for you. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
But our warfare is defensive. Look at the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Shield of faith. Breastplate of righteousness. Loin belt of truth. Heavy combat boots. A helmet. What is that? It's all protective wear. Why? Because our spiritual warfare is centered around this idea. We're not marching forward. We're standing. We're called to stand. We're holding the ground that Jesus conquered against all challengers. I like that. That's not original, but it's a good, great quote. Our call in spiritual warfare is to hold the ground that he conquered. Are you with me?
Amen.
In other words, Jesus won the war, so we stand in the battle. The battles are the little things that happen along the way that win the whole war, right?
Yes.
Battle of the Bulge. Battle of this. No, not diets, but Battle of the Bulge. Battle of Normandy. All those smaller battles encompass the winning of the whole of World War II. World War II. Don't say that too quickly on Sunday morning. World War II. So the battles are what we fight along the way to win the war. Jesus won the whole war.
Yeah.
Offensively for us. And we in this life stand in every battle.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
That's spiritual warfare. We stand in his victory against all challengers.
Amen.
Satan says, you're not righteous. We stand. We say, no. The blood has made me more than righteous. And Jesus goes, yeah, that's right. He's there in heaven applauding us because we're standing in the battle. You see, every challenge we face is proving ground to display to the powers that be his glorious triumph.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. Every challenge we face is proving ground to display to the powers that be, heavens and the dark realm, we're displaying his triumph when we stand. Are you with me? So stand. You're on display. Heaven's watching you. Hell's watching you. And what are they looking to see? Well, if we display it properly, we display his victory as we stand. Amen? Against all challengers. I think that's good news.
Amen.
It's good news in the sense of this. I'm not trying to win in spiritual warfare. I'm just holding the ground that he won.
That's right.
Are you with me? That's a whole different... See, we fight from victory, not for victory.
Amen.
I know you've heard that before. It's not original. But we fight from victory, his victory.
Yes.
Jesus has won every battle for you personally. You say, well, I just can't stop doing such and such. He's already won it for you.
That's right.
Yes. He's conquered that. So you stand.
Yes.
And you hold the ground he won. And you just thank him for the victory. You praise him as we sang this morning. This is how I fight my battles. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. The landing gear is going down. Please fasten your seatbelts. We're approaching the landing. We'll be landing the plane soon. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, talking about Jesus, John is writing here. He says, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Notice the emphasis there. It's not about you, John. It's not about how strong you are or whether you think you can face the devil or not, whether you're victorious in your own estimation. Jesus says, I am. Amen. I did this. Mm. I defeated hell and death. Amen. I won the war. Amen. And then he goes on to the next verse and he says, write therefore. Mm. Why? Because Jesus is all about it is written. Mm. It is written. Mm. It is written. And then he goes on. We're not going to take time to read all of it, but I want you to look at a few of them. Just a chapter or two over. Chapter 2, verse 7. Read it real quick with me here. Chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who what? Overcomes. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Him who
overcomes.
Didn't know if you were still awake with me. Him who I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write. Jesus likes to write things. Look at verse 21 of chapter 3. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you get the idea?
Yes.
Seven times to seven churches, Jesus made this statement, to him who overcomes. Let me say this to you, saints. He has victory for all.
Amen.
He didn't look at one of those churches and say, you've gone too far. You're too far in. You're too bad off. No, he told me, encouraged them, each one of them. He said, you still got an opportunity. To him who overcomes, there's victory for all. There's victory for you. There's victory for me. The title of my message today was Clothed in victory.
Yes.
See, again, it's not our own battle we're fighting. It's the battle that he's already won the war of. I want you to see that today. Every time you get into spiritual conflict, every time there's a battle around you, realize this, Jesus won the whole war. So you stand in him. You stand in him. And he who overcomes, Jesus gives us all these promises. Amen. Isn't it great? Praise the Lord. You know, we're practicing for Armageddon. You're in the book of Revelation. Turn to this one last verse. Revelation 19. We're practicing, in a sense, think of it this way, saints. We all know about this battle at the end of time where Jesus comes on the white horse. That's what we're going to read here in just a moment as we close out. And we all want to be a part of that. But you see, in order to be worthy of that, in order to be prepared for that, we fight every battle now.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Jesus told us last week, he said, prepare for war. Whatever that means for 2021, we want to be faithful in it, don't we?
Yes.
We want to be seen at the end of the year triumphant in the field.
Amen.
Because he won the whole war, we have to stand in every battle. You say, do I really have to fight? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's already won.
Amen.
And he said, to him who overcomes, will I do this and this and this, because even as I overcame. In other words, he said, I've gone before you. I've overcome. No excuses, in a sense, soldier.
He's won the war. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen. That's us. That's your future. White and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at verse 21. Skip down to verse 21. The rest of them were killed with what? The sword that came out of his mouth. What is that?
It is
written.
Saints, this is how we overcome. You don't have to feel victorious. You don't have to feel spiritual in the heat of the battle. You just have to know what to do. You know, they'll tell you this. I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, tense situations, combat type situations. And they said the soldier or the police officer or whoever it is in the good guy's suit in that moment who does the right thing, he does it because of training. When you're in the heat of the battle, remember the word. Run to the word. Don't pay attention to your feelings.
That's good.
Put feelings aside. That's the realm that the devil knows how to provoke in and declare simply, it is written.
Amen.
Stand together with me. Praise the Lord. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for all the work that you've done in our hearts. Thank you for drawing us into your holiness, making us whole, Lord. We thank you that you're completing in us that which you've begun. We are becoming holy as we yield to righteousness, the righteousness that we are in Christ Jesus. And we think that in that place of holiness is a place of power and victory over the evil one. We don't have to fear him. We simply have to do the right thing, as you did, Jesus, and declare, it is written. Thank you for the victory, Lord. I thank you that you are leading us. You have gone before us. You are leading us in triumph in 2021. As we start this new year, we start it onto the battlefield. We step onto the field, and in our hearts we believe it is finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. With heads bowed still for just another moment, stay still with me just for one more moment, please. If you say, Scott, I've never met this Jesus you've been talking about. I don't know what it is to be a Christian. I'm not a believer, but I would like to receive Jesus in my heart today. If that's you, anyone at all, just raise your hand real high. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to have you pray a prayer out loud with all of us here in a moment and give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If anybody here at all, you say, I need to receive Jesus today. I want to be a Christian. I want to have my sins forgiven. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick. Anybody? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we love you, saints. It's going to be a great year. I can't tell you how excited I am. I mean, there's glory in battle. But we know who's won the war for us. And that's the confidence we have. We had such great victory last year with regard to overcoming the coronavirus. Praise the Lord. We lost not one soul here in our congregation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's more victory to come. Amen. We sang about it this morning. There's more to come. So tell a friend, bring a neighbor. Listen, there's folks out there that are crying out. I invited my cable guy the other day. I said, I'm not going to tell his name because we're still recording. But I said, hey, you need to get back in church. There are people out there that are just out of church. They got mixed up with religion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell them what God's doing. It's not about us. It's not about even Believers Fellowship. It's not our identity. It's the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, this is our most glorious hour.
Yes.
And the rivers are here. We're not the only river, but we got a river flowing. Amen.
Yes.
And I just invite your friends, invite people. And if they're not ready to come to church, invite them into the kingdom.
Yes.
Discern. Sometimes you got to discern. Is this person ripe to come to church? Or am I just telling about Jesus? Just sow the seed. Sow the seed. Amen. Spread the gospel. We love you. God bless you in Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.